Hi, everybody. Dennis Prager with you. My friends, I'm going to say something that I've never said. And it's so true that it is reason for weeping. More Americans are afraid of their government than foreign nations. There you go. The American government strikes fear in no nations any longer. But it does strike fear in tens of millions of Americans. That is the state of America in 2021. Afghanistan put the final touch on the impotence. The sexual phraseology is excellent. The impotence of the United States in the world, which is what the left wants. The left wants to control Americans and have no impact in the world, especially on evil. Good Americans are to be suppressed. Bad non-Americans are not. And so it is not even an opinion. This is a fact. More Americans fear the American government than foreign agents do, than foreign governments do. The breath of fresh air given to the worst human beings on earth, outside of North Korean government, Islamic terrorists, given by Joe Biden and the Democratic Party, is unprecedented. And he just marches along oblivious to it all because it doesn't matter to him. It doesn't matter. His concern for the United States is, in my opinion, close to nil. His concern for Joe Biden and being popular with the left of his party is total. Daily Mail had the perfect headline. "The buck stops with me," says Biden, but then proceeds to blame the Afghan fiasco on Trump and on local Afghans who failed to fight the Taliban. That's really something. That's right. But if you aren't inoculated, vaccinated, the wrath of the government will come upon you, as it is even more so in Australia. People are fined for talking to other people in dog parks. You are allowed to deprive people of the most basic right in the world, freedom, if it's in the name of health. There is nothing else. The God of health, as I pointed out, we have more false gods today than they did in the ancient Near East. They had a couple, you know, Baal and the like. But what we have, whoo-hoo-hoo. 1-8-PRAGER-776, Walter Russell Mead in the Wall Street Journal begins his column, "You were given the choice between war and dishonor. You chose dishonor, and you will have war." Winston Churchill's words to Neville Chamberlain following the Munich Agreement echo grimly across Washington this week as the Biden administration reckons with the consequences of the worst-handled foreign policy crisis since the Bay of Pigs and the most devastating blow to American prestige since the fall of Saigon. American prestige is very important, not for ego reasons, but because American prestige is the guardian of liberty in the world. Joe Biden believed three things about Afghanistan. First, that he could stage a dignified and orderly withdrawal from America's longest war. By the way, you know we had, I believe, 2,500 soldiers there. We had not one soldier died there, not one American military person this past year. What was the necessity of leaving? Everything that is happening was completely predictable. I predicted it. It's in print. And I'm not a prophet. I'm just not a leftist. Second, a Taliban win in Afghanistan would not seriously affect U.S. power and prestige worldwide. Third, that Americans were eager enough to put the Afghan war behind them that voters wouldn't punish him even if the withdrawal went pear-shaped. He was utterly and unspinably wrong about the first. One fears he was equally wrong about the second. We shall see about the third. That is how voters react. I think Democrats can do anything. They can defund police, and people will vote for them as they watch people murdered in the middle of the day in New York City and Chicago and elsewhere. The brainwash is so powerful from elementary school on that people vote for their own non-safety. The most primal desire of the human from government, protect me from evil, doesn't matter to people, most people who went to college. China, Russia, and Iran surely interpret this shambolic performance as a sign of exploitable weakness and poor judgment. From the peaks of Pakistan to the sands of the Sahel, fanatical jihadists discouraged by the failure of ISIS sense a fresh and favorable turn of events with the arrival of their greatest victory since 9/11. Recruitment will prosper and resources will flow, fed by the sophisticated weapons and tech we left in the field. Staggering amount of advanced weapons that the Biden government left the people, but they impeached Donald Trump. Over what? I don't even remember. Because it was so profoundly inconsequential as to constitute a fraud. This man should be impeached. Trump helped the United States of America, whatever you think of him. This man is ruining it. Ruining it. And it is irrelevant if it's him. Kamala Harris would have ruined America. Chuck Schumer would have. Nancy Pelosi would have. It's irrelevant which Democrat is elected. That's why I rail against the moronic idea, I vote for the person, not the party. Really? Name me a responsible Democrat in a national office. I pray there is one. I can't think of any. So, I made a point at the opening of the show. I think I said I'm Dennis Prager, but if I didn't, I'm Dennis Prager. Very easy to remember. Two syllables each name. Very symmetrical. More Americans fear the American government than foreign terrorists. And evil regimes. That's the state it is, which makes sense because of the moral chaos that the left always engenders. It's an amazing time we're living in. I don't like amazing times. I like nice, boring times because I have an interesting life. People with interesting lives do not want to live in interesting times. They make their lives interesting. People with boring lives want interesting times. It's a very important explanation for the riots of last year. The board rioted. That's what it was about, in large measure. It's It's a colossal catastrophe. You cannot overstate how terrible the withdrawal from Afghanistan was. It was unnecessary. We had 2,500 people there. It was basically calm. Americans were not dying there. Americans will die as a result of the emboldening of terrorists around the world. Not to mention China and Russia and Iran. China and Russia will surely interpret this performance as a sign of exploitable weakness and poor judgment. That's correct. Recruitment to ISIS and others will prosper and resources will flow. Fed by the sophisticated weapons and tech we left in the field. That's when I said the president should be impeached. It doesn't matter, by the way. I don't even have passion about it. He deserves to be impeached, but it is irrelevant who would succeed him. There's no Democrat who is better than Joe Biden. There's no such thing. The president may be finished with Afghanistan, but Afghanistan may not be finished with him. This is a major international relations expert writing in the Wall Street Journal, Walter Russell Mead. For more than 70 years, India, whose massive population and economy make it a linchpin of any American strategy in Asia, has seen the world through the lens of its competition with Pakistan. Is that clear to all of you? Every country has its own lens. The India-Pakistan conflict is the lens through which those two countries see the world. Emboldens Pakistan, India feels it suffers. Emboldens India, Pakistan feels it suffers. Now, as Islamabad is the capital of Pakistan, cements its ties with Beijing, the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan hands Pakistan a strategic victory and strengthens the most radical anti-Indian and anti-Western forces in its government. Few in New Delhi will perceive this catastrophe as a sign of Washington's competence or reliability. If a third-tier country like Pakistan can tie the U.S. in knots, Indians will ask, what chance does Washington have against China? That's right. Think of the outside of the left in America. Who was happy about the American withdrawal? China, Russia, Iran, every terrorist organization in the world. Wow. But hey, we were there 20 years, time to go. I know some of you feel that way. I've never understood the logic, ever. It is, to me, a non sequitur. Completely. I said it for years. I said it 5 months ago in a column. The issue was not how long we were there. The issue is what is the price for leaving? How long we were there is an interesting question of no significance. None. It's of emotional significance. It is not of American significance, world significance, moral significance. Perhaps the biggest winner in this dismal week was former Defense Secretary Robert Gates, who wrote in his 2014 memoir, I didn't know this, catch this one. Former Secretary of Defense Robert Gates wrote in 2014, 7 years ago, about then Vice President Biden. He has been wrong on nearly every major foreign policy and national security issue over the past four decades. Yeah. Those lines may not have the Churchillian flair, but they are unlikely to be forgotten now. Joe Biden is always wrong. The left is always wrong. Joe Biden is not deep, and Joe Biden is part of the left. Why would he ever be right? It's very Very, very bad stuff, oh, my friends. I debate whether to let you know how bad things are, lest I leave you in despair. I find despair to be a waste of time and somewhat selfish. Okay? The guys who stormed Normandy Beach didn't despair. They fought. I'm not asking you to storm Normandy Beach. I'm asking you to fight. I'm Dennis Prager, 1-8-PRAGER-776.
The Dennis Prager Show.
I witnessed the events of Afghanistan with tremendous worry, anger, sadness, every negative emotion, actually. Well, not jealousy. There are negative emotions that I don't have. Lust is not in the group, I have to say. When you look at what happened, when I saw the Afghans falling from the planes, all I ask for people to do is think of that person as having every desire, every bit of love of life that every one of us has. I told you, I think I've mentioned this, that the most searing memory of 9/11 is the people jumping out of the Trade Tower, the Twin Towers. What is in their mind those last moments? Do you know what it takes for a person to hang on to an airplane? Do you realize for an Afghan who was not evil, and Taliban and evil are synonymous, for an Afghan who was not evil, the Taliban are the same as the fire was to the people in the World Trade Center. Right? Isn't that an interesting analogy? What does it take to jump from an airplane? Or they didn't know necessarily they would, but I mean, what did they think? You're going to hang on at 20,000 feet? There's no oxygen, and to begin with, and you'll freeze to death. It's a death sentence. Why did people jump from the World Trade Center? Because they would otherwise have been devoured by fire. Why did people hang on to an airplane? Because they would have been devoured by the Taliban. Are you familiar, I'm looking at my producer, with the CNN reporter who said, well, they chanted death to America, but they seem like nice people, right?
Not exactly?
No, tell me exactly, because I don't want to in any way misquote. That's very, I don't need the clip, I just need the words. It's very important to me because I have a lot to say about the whole issue of nice people. There aren't many people who are not nice. Anyway, I do want to get the exact quote because Ted Cruz tweeted that out and Barry Weiss attacked Ted Cruz. And that's why I'm looking at you. Because I didn't understand why she did. She's such a sensible person. So I'm wondering, am I missing something here? This notion of nice people, niceness is a very good quality. There's no question about that. But nice people have ruined societies. Nice people vote Democrat. I mean, really nice people. And look at what that party has done wherever it is governed. It has ruined America. It continues to ruin America. To the consternation of a fair number of you, I have no idea what percentage, I came out against withdrawal from Afghanistan months ago. I wrote a column against it. I knew that many conservatives differed with me, for that matter. Donald Trump differed. I did not understand the argument whatsoever that, well, we've been there 20 years, so let's leave. If we have the clip, is that what you're signaling?
Yeah.
All right, so let's play it then.
Ending U.S. military involvement in Afghanistan now was the right decision.
Biden that we're looking for.
American troops cannot
and
should
not Joe Biden
be fighting in a war and dying in a war
that
Afghan forces are not willing to fight for themselves.
Okay, we'll work this out. The argument that we have been there for 20 years is such an odd argument to me. So at what point is there a statute of limitations on preventing evil, on protecting America? Well, tell me what the statute is. Is it 3 years? Is it 1 year? I don't quite get the argument. If you're on dialysis for 20 years, I don't know if people are, but if you are, do you say, 20 years is enough? Or do you prefer to live and continue with dialysis? Now we have the clip. I haven't heard the clip. I only read it. Go ahead.
Death to America, but they seem friendly at the same time. It's utterly bizarre. They're just chanting death to America, but they seem friendly at the same time. It's utterly bizarre.
Okay, they're friendly. It seems utterly bizarre that they're friendly. This is the naivete of most people are naive about evil. This has been one of the themes of my entire broadcast career. The naivete about evil, that is the definition of a liberal. Naivete about evil. These are people who don't like evil. These are people who themselves are not evil. They're friendly. I don't know of a group that maybe Antifa is not friendly. But of all the evil groups, the vast majority have members who are friendly. These are people who take a knife and slice off the head of a conscious person because they have different beliefs than they do, or for whatever other reason, or because they sent their daughter to a school, or because the daughter did go to school and she should be beheaded. But they're friendly, and she thinks it's utterly bizarre. It's only utterly bizarre to the utterly naive. And naivete is a death sentence to a civilization. If you are not aware of evil, then evil will win. And that's the story here. Even President Biden, we need a diplomatic solution. A diplomatic solution with the Taliban? Are you kidding me? And by the way, I was just as opposed to President Trump's plan to leave Afghanistan. He tweeted out that or issued his statement that he never would have exited this way. That I do believe, as it happens. That he would have made sure that at the very least we got our vast amount of military hardware out. It is now in the hands of the Taliban. But the statement of the day, and it's the theme of my column today. Tuesday is my column day. It's at my website. It's at townhall.com. Is the statement by, was it Anthony Blinken? Is that right? The Secretary of State? Yeah. That statement, this is not Saigon. If you see the pictures of the helicopter lifting Americans off the top of the American embassy, you would not know if it was Saigon in 1975 or Kabul in 2021. These people lie with such grace that, again, I turn to my old question. Do leftists know when they're lying? And I think that they have somehow figured out a way to lie without being fully aware of the fact. We live in a society of lies. I looked up CNN's list of the greatest lies of Donald Trump, because what the left did to deflect from its lying universe was to speak every single day of the lying president. But his lies are trivial, even if accurate. I'll tell you a few when we get back. I want you to hear the Secretary of State. Who's he interviewed by?
Jake Tapper.
Why isn't this Saigon? So listen to his answer.
President Biden is intent on avoiding a Saigon moment. That's a reference, of course, to the hasty and humiliating U.S. evacuation from Vietnam. But with this troop surge to airlift Americans out of Afghanistan, aren't we already in the midst of a Saigon moment?
No, we're not. Remember, this is not Saigon. We went to Afghanistan 20 years ago with one mission, and that mission was to deal with the folks who attacked us on 9/11.
Okay, fine. Do you understand the answer, ladies and gentlemen? The humiliating removal of Americans from the embassy and the thousands of people who were clamoring for freedom to fill airplanes, it is identical to Saigon. Identical. He's lying. The man is straight-faced lying. His answer is a non sequitur. Why isn't this Saigon? It is Saigon. This is an amazing moment in American history. Your eyes have seen it, and he's telling you, don't believe your lying eyes. Believe your lying left-wing administration, because the left doesn't hold truth as a value. I swear to God, I believe that. Truth is not a left-wing value. It is a theme of my life. It's a liberal value. It's a conservative value. It is not a left-wing value. They say anything, and they talk themselves into it. Men give birth. This is not Saigon. Get it? It's all part of a pattern. We live in a lying society. It is a society of lies. Anthony Fauci is up there. The man first told us masks don't work. Then he said masks work, but in a Freedom of Information Act, by the way, revealed by Slate, which is on the left, he said masks don't work privately while lying to the country about masks. We live and swim and drown in left-wing lies. And if you don't believe it, you are canceled by the chief administrators of lying, the social media. No one has ensured lies prevail more than YouTube, Google, Facebook, and Twitter. This is one of the most classic examples of a big lie right before you. You saw Saigon. And he's telling you, what, are you kidding? You think you saw Saigon? Oh, no, we went into Afghanistan with a different purpose. What does that have to do with anything? Actually, the purpose
this is not Saigon.
This is not Saigon. Because I say it's not Saigon, and I'm a leftist. So I believe it. And Joe Biden believes it, because he's a leftist. And he lies with the best. That is the problem. The problem in this society is truth. That is the problem. Where there is a pursuit of truth, the left is dead. Where there is truth, there is no left. There's liberals and there's conservatives, but there is no left. Truth is the mortal enemy of the left. Yeah, what you saw. You don't even know when you see the photos, the videos, you don't even know if it is Saigon or if
it
is Kabul.
This is not Saigon.
It's not Saigon because I'm lying to you straight to your face and getting away with it. Did Jake Tapper say, what are you talking about? I don't know. I'm just asking. Wait, I didn't ask you why we went into Afghanistan, Secretary of State. I asked you why it's not Saigon. Of course you go into different countries for different reasons.
Aren't we already in the midst of a Saigon moment?
No, we're not. Remember, this is not Saigon.
It's laughable. Yes. Lifting Americans off the top of the American embassy. That's not Saigon. Poor people about to be slaughtered by evil. This is not Saigon. Because the evil in Saigon was communism, and the evil here is Islamic terror. There you go. That alone shows you it's not Saigon. How many people in Vietnam speak Pashto? It's clearly not Saigon. There you go. There's your big difference. Any Vietnamese speakers in Kabul? There you go. It's not Saigon. They don't even speak the same language. I wonder if there is any Pashto Vietnamese translator in the world. I wrote for UCLA magazine when they used to publish people who were not on the left many, many years ago, and I can't find it for some reason. It is the only piece of writing of mine I can't find. That lies are the root of evil. Not money, not lust, not the other things that we attribute evil to. They have their own issues. But the ultimate issue is lying. And we're drowning in lies. I'll bet you that the vast majority of people who say men menstruate and who don't say women breastfeed but say birthing persons chest feed, which is now what is said in medical schools, to my horror. I'll bet you they support the... I'll bet you they believe Blinken that it's not Saigon. It's all of a pattern. The battle is over truth. Not just values. It's the battle is over truth. That's why there's no... It's an unbridgeable gap. If people are not open to truth, they... Lying organs like the New York Times that just, you know, filled with distortions. Filled. Woman writes in the LA Times that Larry Elder is twists facts on black criminality. She lied. He's never twisted a fact about it. She even has a link. All it does is link to Larry Elder's facts. They're facts. She doesn't show why they've been twisted. And she's obviously so valued at the LA Times, they actually zoomed her in on Larry Elder's editorial board conference. Did you know that? This woman? 1-8-PRAGER-776. Hi, everybody. I'm Dennis Prager. Everything the left touches, it ruins, as you know. The latest victim is the United States. The education system is the most obvious example. The media is the most obvious example. There's a tie for the most obvious example. But there is another arena that is frightening, and I don't get easily frightened, as you know, and that is the amount of debt that this country is taking on, which it won't be able to pay. If the dollar does not remain the currency of choice in the world, what will happen in the United States with a worthless dollar is a nightmarish scene. The idea of spending $3.5 trillion, I don't think people understand the gravity of that. There's a group that does, and that is Job Creators Network, not arguably. Let's say one of my three favorite groups in America, and I would include PragerU in that three. That's how much I admire Job Creators Network. Elaine Parker is the chief communications officer. She's been on with me before. And I look forward to the day you can retire, but I don't see that happening in the very near future, frankly. So...
Hey, Dennis. No, I think I have guaranteed employment, at least for the next 4 years, right?
at least. So what is happening to the dollar?
Well, I mean, Dennis, what we're seeing is just unprecedented spending. I mean, President Biden and Democrats, they've enacted a tax and spend agenda, and it's done a multitude of damage to our economy and to our country. I mean, it's created the worst labor shortage we've seen in decades. It's increased inflation to the point where earnings are effectively negative. I mean, we saw inflation go up to 5.4%, and earnings or wages only increased by 4%. So we're calling that a Biden tax cut, because by my math, the cost of goods are going up faster than the wages are going up. So people are actually losing ground here because, you know, gas is up 50%, groceries are up, the cost of energy is up. There's a long list of costs that are up, and small businesses are also taking it on the chin, and one of their biggest concerns is inflation.
Well, small business has already taken it on the chin because the lockdowns have disproportionately affected them. Walmart and Amazon are doing just great. So is there, I don't want to lead you on with this question. It sounds like I am, but I really don't intend to. But is there contempt for small business on the left?
You know, I think we've had this conversation in the past, Dennis, and the reality is what we believe is that, you know, the left, Democrats, they don't like small businesses. And the reason why is because they can't control them. It's very easy to control a Walmart that's employing hundreds of thousands of people across the country, across the world. But you can't control, you know, independent small businesses and dry cleaners and pizza parlors and hairdressers. I mean, they're independent entrepreneurs who are coming up with new ideas all the time on how to improve their business, hire more people, and give back to their communities. And Democrats can't control that, and they don't like that.
What would you like people to do? Because I want them to be involved with you.
So we've launched a campaign called Bring Small Businesses Back, and that is to counter this war on small business that the Biden administration has launched. And we are actually going on a national bus tour starting right after Labor Day. We'll be in about 20 different cities across the country just to start with. We'll do more later, but we're starting out now. September and October, we'll be on the road. We'll be in different districts meeting with congressional representatives and small business owners in rally-type style stops and meeting with small business owners and talking about the issues that are facing them and educating them on how they can fight back and how they can speak out by joining the Job Creators Network and by fighting back and letting us amplify their voice.
So I'm going to ask my producer, is there a link to join JCN at Prager? DennisPrager.com. So go to joinjcn.com. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Joinjcn.com. You folks are magnificent, and the battle is overwhelming. Thank you, Elaine Parker and JCN Job Creators Network. I will mention them frequently. All right, everybody, Dennis Prager. There we go. Let's see here. I promised you that I would read to you a bit from CNN's list of the most notable lies of Donald Trump. Since I have spoken to you about the society of lies in which we live because of the left, the reason for charging Trump as a liar for 4 years is the same as being preoccupied with the quote-unquote insurrection. It deflects from what the left does. That's the whole point. If we can get you to concentrate on the right, you will ignore the left. That is the oldest tactic of the left, and it always works. That's why Stalin called Trotsky a fascist. So here we go. CNN list. The most notable lies, the most telling lie, this is the first one, It didn't rain on his inauguration. You hear that? You looked at me as if I'm making it up. Now let's say I don't even know what it refers to. I don't remember it, but it doesn't matter. So that was the most telling lie, that it didn't rain at the inauguration, and apparently it did. I don't know what he said. I'm giving you all of the lies are of that significance. Then, of course, the most dangerous lie, the coronavirus was under control. Everybody, quote-unquote, lied in the beginning about the coronavirus, not to panic people. What did Nancy Pelosi said, hey, everybody come to Chinatown to celebrate the Chinese New Year. There's nothing to worry about. People didn't know in the beginning about the virus. Okay? Wanting people not to panic is actually a wonderful thing. The panic has caused far more danger than all the calls of not to panic. Let's see, what else here? The most ridiculous subject of a lie, the Boy Scouts. The ugliest smear, Representative Ilhan Omar supports Al-Qaeda. Okay, anyway, I just want you to understand. That is CNN's list of the great lies of the great liar. Does anything compare to America systemically racist? Anything compare to Blinken's "This is not Saigon" as you watch it being Saigon, or to men give birth, or to renaming women birthing persons so as to include men, biological men? That is the issue here. Jacob, Minneapolis, Dennis Prager in Los Angeles. Hello.
Hey, Dennis. Thanks for having me on. It's great to talk with you.
Thank you.
A lot of what you just said sort of wraps nicely into things that I've been experiencing. First, my family's, we own a small business, so it kind of gets to your last segment. But my brother was is a veteran. Who served overseas in several Middle East countries a few years ago, and he gave a lot for the country. Still struggles with some things today, and so it's a sad day for that. I wanted to ask you a question. it's a confusing time. I'm a practicing Christian. I always, growing up, we were patriotic. We knew that. America had some. We were founded on good and decent values, principles, Judeo-Christian values that, if enacted properly, could be a source of consolation and help to people across the world. It just so happens that the same people who call people birthing persons and who they trust the science when it comes to COVID. But who are totally willing to disregard the science about the unborn person, or who are unwilling to, who look so blatantly and falsely at biology and tell us lies that way, they keep calling us a democracy. So then, the most vile of things pops up, and we just embrace it, and we don't have any sort of standard against it. So it's so sad to see like what could be so good. We could be passing along so many good values across the world, but instead. We share our filth and our smut with the rest of the world, and they look obviously badly at us. To kind of go from there, I was wondering, the question is, do you see in this very kind of bitter time, I voted for Donald Trump twice. I thought he was the best.
Wait, ask the question. Do you see in these times? Yes, what?
Sorry. The question is, do you see somebody who can combat this nonsense?
Yes. The answer is there are millions who can. It is all that any non-leftist can combat all of this. That's why this notion of, it's only Trump, or it's only DeSantis, or it's only Nikki Haley, or any of these other terrific people is ridiculous. Any non-leftist can crush the left. The left needs supporters. You don't support the left, you clean the society. That's why it is so important for Republicans to win. There are a handful of Republicans who have no idea what they stand for. Mitt Romney is an example, or Liz Cheney. But they're a tiny minority. That's why I never get fixated on one individual. There is no savior. The savior is non-leftist, ideally anti-leftist. I would take an anti-leftist liberal. That's the answer. We don't need one spectacular human being. We need anyone who understands the existential threat to everything that you treasure that the left constitutes. That's all it takes. We'll be back.
The Dennis Prager Show.
Yes, indeed, everybody. I'm Dennis Prager. That last point was a very important one, worthy of reinforcing. That's right, a WOR worthy of reinforcing. Isn't that a radio station in New York? WOR. I think that was what it originally meant, worthy of reinforcing. I am asked all the time, so who do you want, Dennis? A totally legitimate question, by the way. I'm not in any way belittling it. But you need to understand the battle is not personalities. Americans are fixated on personalities. Like the American statement, I vote for the person, not the party. You got to be kidding. I would vote for Romney over a Democrat. That's saying something, folks. Right? The first thing is, as the Hippocratic Oath, first do no harm. Voting for a Democrat does harm. I don't vote for personalities. That's why I supported, not originally, but once nominated, I supported Donald Trump. Turned out to be a great president, as it happens. G-R-E-A-T. G-R-E-A-T. Grete, a great president. A lot of personality deficiencies. They didn't particularly interest me since the country was the issue, not the personality. So when I'm asked who do I prefer any Republican who will win. That is whom I prefer. This is a civil war in this country. There's an actual civil war. I've said this for decades. We have nothing in common left and right. Nothing. It's an amazing division. In the Civil War, they had one thing not in common. It's a big thing. Slavery. It's big. Big enough to have had a horrible war. But beyond that, they agreed on most things. They didn't agree on race. The South remained racist. Very, very tragic and very bad. But otherwise, but not now, you can't say there's one thing and otherwise. We differ on everything important. Back in a moment.
The Dennis Prager Show.